Welcome to Experience Talks, where the voices of wisdom and guidance bring us together to be enlightened and empowered. I'm Dr. Connie Corley, and today we are gifted by the presence of two amazing women, the authors of The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. This book captivates the reader with the real story of a brave and loving daughter, Marcy Cottrell Houle, who fearlessly advocates for her parents in the final years of their lives, combined with the practical advice of geriatrician, Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom. Currently in the United States healthcare model, thousands of elders face unnecessary suffering, hospitalizations and nursing home stays, and even preventable death. Families of elders often scramble to help, frequently encountering resistance from their parents and inadequate guidance from professionals. At times, the ignorance and even the insensitivity of those we entrust with the care of elders can have disastrous consequences. So we're going to unpack some of these challenges in dialogue with our guests and authors of The Gift of Caregiving. Marcy Cottrell Houle is a biologist and award-winning author of four books and numerous articles for national magazines. Her work has received the Christopher Award, New York City Library Best Books, Oregon Book Award, and has been selected as New York Times Notable Reading. Elizabeth Ekstrom is Associate Professor and Director of Geriatrics at Oregon Health Science University, where she directs multiple programs. She's the author of numerous publications addressing improved education for teams in healthcare, falls prevention, and Tai Chi for older adults. Marcy and Elizabeth, welcome to KPFK's Experience Talks.
Hello.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here. This is such a groundbreaking work that you've written together. And I thought as we get started, please tell our listeners about how the idea for this partnership, culminating in a stellar book, came about.
Well, I may answer that first. This is Marcy. It was actually a fortuitous sequence of events.
Uh-huh.
When I look back, it began over 14 years ago, actually, when I found myself in a situation that I think thousands of people discovered themselves in. My parents, they were in their late 70s, whom I thought were so active and vital, and they'd live forever, they began getting sick. And at the same time, my husband and I were raising our two young children. So we became what I think a lot of people find themselves in today, part of the squeezed generation.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, Connie, I'm a writer. I was scheduled to write another book when my dad developed Alzheimer's. And that changed everything because my focus and our focus as our journey as a family changed. And we suddenly found ourselves in the role of caregivers and going through experiences we had no forehand knowledge about.
Right.
So while I couldn't write books at that time, I just could not pull it together to write the book I was supposed to write. I did keep journals, and that was one way I dealt with this new role that I found myself thrust into. So anyway, fast forward a few years ago, my parents had passed away, and my daughter Emily, who's in the book, at that time had graduated from medical school, and she brought up this great idea. And she said, Mom, you should take all those stories from your journals. She saw me writing all those
years. Oh, yes.
And write a book with one of her favorite teachers she'd had in med school, Elizabeth Ekstrom. She said Dr. Ekstrom was passionate about aging, and she was so excited about aging that Dr. Ekstrom made people want to get old. So anyway,
wow.
I contacted Elizabeth and just to see if she had any interest in collaborating, and we met, and she did. And once we discovered we wanted to do a book together, I asked her an important question. I said, can you give me 20 or 25 things that you, as a geriatrician, know, but the general population does not, but you would like for them to know? Because if you can, I can craft a book around them, because I saw over the 14 years just about everything that can go right and wrong with the process. And so that's how the book was born.
Wow, that's amazing. So a compelling story like you've written, Marcy, and shared with our readers is very important. And there's a lot of practical information, as you mentioned, these various points. And I love the way the book weaves in between chapters of episodes of the events in your parents' lives and you and your family with this practical information. But how do you think a book like this will make a difference in how families care for elders or even how professionals provide care?
Elizabeth, I'll let you start on that one.
Okay, thanks, Marcy. So I think I got into this because I recognized that I could speak with patients on a daily basis and feel as if it was impactful and they came back healthier and they had, you know, good family interactions and were able to do their advanced care planning, these kinds of things. But it was all happening one-on-one in the patient room. And I recognized a need to get more of this information out there, because if my patients hadn't been, prepared for some of these events, and there were probably many other people in this world who are also not prepared.
Yes.
So when Marcy approached me about the book, I said, wow, you have a vehicle that will allow these, you know, kind of tips and strategies to get out there in a way that is both very compelling, human, compassionate, funny, and will help people understand how to take these bits of information and process them and translate them to their own story.
Yes.
And I think that's what's so critically important about this book, that you get to see the things that can go wrong and some of the stories, and then you get these just very practical tips. I mean, you know, geriatrics isn't rocket science. A lot of this stuff is just simple things that many people just were not aware of. And it's just, you know, putting it into a context that people can utilize it for their own healthcare needs and their own situation in a really realistic way that doesn't feel like it's, you know, too out in the stars or too impossible for their family to utilize or connect with, but something that they can take and engage with and make their own in a way that gives them so much more empowerment around their own health care and their own health.
Well, maybe we can give some examples. And speaking from my own experience with family members with dementia, so there's a lot of mythology and misunderstanding, for example, about Alzheimer's disease. And I've had people ask me or say, oh, I had a parent with Alzheimer's, but they didn't have dementia. So there's some really practical things in there. And maybe, you know, Marcy, you could talk a little bit about how you came to this understanding of the importance of recognizing the signs and symptoms, and Elizabeth, the kinds of things that you share with family members when they come to you with these concerns.
Yeah, I think that's where the book, and it was really helpful for me to write it through my journals, because I really relived it again, and it wasn't like from memory. It was like I was writing these things while they happened, and I could see, even going back, it was a process. It wasn't something like one day I woke up saying your dad has diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and so then the next of the story. It wasn't like that at all, because first, definitely I was in denial. My dad had been a successful doctor. People loved him. He loved old people. And the symptoms we started seeing, we would discard. And even he had a physician who knew him and cared about him and diagnosed him with just his peripheral neuropathy, meaning he couldn't walk well. So we had that diagnosis. We hung on that. So it's a long, hard slog to kind of come to acceptance. And you really need to come to acceptance before you can start making good choices. And I think that's why in the book, the first half of the book is about my dad, who did, as I say, had Alzheimer's. And I think Elizabeth's chapters are so compelling because, as we title her chapters, What I Wish I'd Known,
yes,
as we went through it, the diagnoses and looking at these things and what you can do and the hard decisions you may have to make about when do you move them out of their own home. My dad lived in this home for 50 years. He loved his home. He knew us.
Yes.
And yet, for his own safety. And then the problem was, what I saw was him falling through the cracks with how the healthcare professionals I'd counted on. I mean, believe me, I was raised in a doctor's family. My dad did so much volunteer work with seniors in nursing homes. I thought, boy, if anything happened, we had it made. No, if someone gets Alzheimer's, it doesn't matter who they are. They can fall through the cracks, and you have to step up your advocacy and to know ways and the threats to look for. And those are what Elizabeth writes about.
Yes.
You can make it so much better and ease that suffering and make it a journey you take together.
Elizabeth, when you put together the segments that follow, you know, What I Wish I Had Known, what made you decide to pick the particular topics that you did? I know Marcy mentioned she asked you, like, what would be the top things. But as you went through and worked with Marcy on the story, like, how did you decide how much to write about? Because a lot of times there's tons of books for caregivers now, which is wonderful, but a lot of the information may be too confusing or too lengthy or too academic, you know, too many terminologies and things like that. How did you decide how to write what you did?
Yeah, well, I started just from the very practical perspective of my own experience with 20 years of patient care. And, you know, seeing the patients and families that I'd had the privilege to interact with and, mm-hmm. You know, seeing some of the struggles that they had had and what were some of the most common things that many people have struggled with. And I just thought, you know, those were the situations that probably everybody is dealing with when they're, you know, managing healthcare for their spouse, mm-hmm. for their parents, whatever, and that those were the things that we should really address in this book and try to get to some of the most common things. There are plenty more. I think there could be three more books.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know, tag on to some of the many, many things that we addressed. But I really tried to focus on the practical side of things. And just, it was really important to us that we provide tips that people could actually do to improve their quality of life and their function. And so we really focused on things like preventing falls and recognizing delirium and improving sleep and reducing medications and all of the things that are so incredibly burdensome in the U.S. healthcare system and in the lives of older adults. And I think if we can have an impact in those really kind of high importance areas, it will make a very big difference. And the book is full of just practical information for people to go out and start doing today.
Absolutely.
Lives better.
Well, I love how in Appendix 1 of The Gift of Caring has a whole list of drugs. It's titled, mm-hmm. The Drugs Seniors Should Not Be On, But Are Too Often Prescribed. And so I want to alert our readers to the fact that we're listening to the authors of The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. We have Marcy Cottrell-Hull and Elizabeth Ekstrom. So our listeners who might want to check out the book right now, find out where they can order it and so on, where are the best places to order the book, and what about a website?
Well, I think they're very available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and any independent bookstore, your favorite bookstore, mm-hmm. if you have it, or it can be ordered. But I'm going to go back to what you just said about that appendix, because
yes.
that's something I'm really proud and excited about in the book, because that's something I think happens so often, and you hear these stories that my mom was so heavily medicated and all
right.
these things. For, you know, she'd see one specialist and get one set of medications, another specialist with another set of medications. And it wasn't until we found a geriatrician, this is down the line, and she sat down with me and she looked at my mom's med list and started saying, we'll get rid of that, we'll get rid of that, we'll get rid of that. And it was like, huh? And, you know, it was just such a, I didn't understand. And she explained what polypharmacy was, which Elizabeth can explain a lot better. But just the too many drugs and how
yes.
a lot of them aren't, you know, really safe for older people. And my mom's health improved dramatically after that. And so this appendices, as Elizabeth can say, is from the Beers list. This is a list developed by geriatricians of the names of the drugs. And we have like it's about 10 pages of all the drugs.
A lot.
And there's side effects that can be used by the layman. First time it's ever been written for the layman. So you, as Elizabeth says, you can go to your doctor and say, why is my mom, for example, on Phenergan for nausea?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it makes her seem... You know, it makes her seem like she has dementia. But what happens is a lot of people say, oh, it's just because she's old, she has those side effects. And too often it's
right.
from the drug or mixture of the drugs.
Right. Well, it's interesting because there's also an emphasis on the fact that very often people, even professionals, will write off somebody saying, well, that's because they're old. It's just old age and so on. So how can family members talk to professionals or even sometimes their own family members to counteract this and say, let's investigate something first instead of just writing it off?
I'll let you, Elizabeth, go for that one.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth. I'll take that one on.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I think Marcy hit a really important point in the book, and we elaborated on it some and have some of our health questionnaires as appendices to help with that as well. But it's really to get a sense of what the parent's baseline is and what their normal day-to-day function is like. Can they walk a half a mile? Can they remember things well? You know, do they have any memory concerns or troubles getting around? And really understanding and articulating what that baseline is can help the doctor when the situation changes. Because most of the time, we as doctors see people when things aren't going well. You know, there's been a fall, there's a pneumonia, and the patient has delirium, and things that are going wrong. So we don't have a very good sense of what that person's normal status is. And it's really helpful to just understand what their normal daily function is. And Marcy's chapters on baseline and the way we've written that, I think, is an incredible way for people and the family members to understand and give health professionals a sense of what is and is not normal for that person.
And I think that resonates with many people because for me, for example, in the book I talk about a terrible story when my mom had been with us for a campfire cookout on 4th of July before my daughter's, I think it was 18th birthday, Emily. And then the next day she started getting sick and started seeing people or seeing these things or saying that Orlando, who was helping take care of her, was trying to poison her. It's like, what? Well, what it was actually was a urinary tract infection. And a lot of times when people get older, they get hallucinations and paranoia and all these things. But we took her to the hospital. And, of course, but she was suffering from delirium, but I didn't have the right language.
Exactly.
They said, she's just old and demented. It's like, she's not. And they said, she has Alzheimer's. Well, I'd been through Alzheimer's. I knew she didn't, but I didn't have the lingo. I didn't know what to say. And we had 14 days in the hospital and then a nursing home where she was so written off, drove us crazy. She recovered, and she lived 4 more years, but a lot of people that have delirium don't. And as Elizabeth said, if I'd only known the right words, this is not her baseline. And it had some validation from the doctor saying, this is her baseline. We want to return to this level of function and not step down. And that often doesn't happen.
Well, the other thing is, in addressing the subtitle, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare, just going into the hospital itself can cause so many risks for older people, infections, falls because they're confused in a new environment, and then, of course, the drugs, the polypharmacy being put on things to control conditions and deconditioning. People are less active, typically, unless they're having physical therapy. So how can your book collectively as a great read, but also, if you will, as a movement, help many of us who are, especially baby boomers, who are, you know, many in number who have parents, and then their own children who are wondering, like, oh my goodness, they see what their parents are going through with their parents. How can we create a larger presence for the book? And I know a couple of op-eds have been written. So what's been the reaction so far, and what do you envision for the book?
Well, I'll speak to the op-ed pieces, and I'll let Elizabeth speak to the rest. But
okay, Marcy.
The op-ed pieces I wrote to the New York Times and the LA Times obviously hit a real chord, because the New York Times one remained as one of the top read stories for a solid week in both the national and international versions. Had no idea that would happen. And then hundreds of people started writing in to the New York Times saying they identified with the piece. Many of them also shared their own similar experiences. Then we started getting letters and emails, and people started writing their own blogs about it. And so I think you're right. It has to be a revolution, that there is this whole segment of society that's really being overlooked and suffering. And the thing is, I learned from Elizabeth and seeing it with my own eyes, it doesn't have to be this sad life.
Yes, that's true. Well, I think the idea that many stories can trigger these kinds of responses, how can people become more, proactive in sharing their stories or bringing in, like, the book to say to their doctor, I read in this book, for example. How would a doctor react, for example, Elizabeth, if somebody came in with a book like the one that you co-authored?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I've that experience has happened to me many times now, because patients have given it to other doctors, and family members who saw it here have taken it to their parents' doctors on the East Coast when they visited. And so I've already seen lots of reactions from other doctors around the book and what they've thought of it. And most of the time they've said, wow, I just didn't know some of these things. And I think that most physicians and other healthcare professionals, I mean, we've got physician assistants, pharmacists, nurse practitioners, an entire cadre of healthcare practitioners who have extremely little training in geriatrics. And they really haven't had much experience with the specialized care of older adults. And, you know, just like kids have pediatricians because there are special things about childhood, there are special things about growing older. And so having that additional expertise is highly valuable. And so healthcare professionals who have read it have said, wow, I just didn't know. And this has really opened my eyes. And one of the things that we're working on and hoping we can start to spread is an interprofessional curriculum where medical students, nursing students, pharmacy students, you know, students from various schools can get together and have small group discussions around some of these just really crazy stories that happened to Marcy's family, and then reflect on how they might work as a team to ensure that that doesn't happen again, that these things are not replicated over and over again in our current healthcare system. So our goal really is to spread this to you know, caregivers, spread it to older adults. I think there is valuable information in the book for you know, people, for themselves, for their, you know, for their caregiving needs if they are caring for a parent. But I also think there's a lot of valuable information for healthcare professionals. I've had patients who live in facilities give it to the director of nursing.
Great.
Or the administrator at the facility. I've had, you know, daughters take it to primary care doctors in Baltimore and other places around the country. I've had, you know, kind of every scenario of spreading it around. And I've gotten emails back from these, you know, various nursing home administrators or things like that saying, wow, thank you. We thought we were doing a really good job, but there were some things that we recognized we could do better. So that's really our goal, is to just use the stories. I think the stories are what gets people to recognize and understand in a very real way what some of the issues are and how to make improvements. And if it were just my chapters, I don't think people would get it as mm-hmm. well. I think, mm-hmm. you know, they might say, oh, that's interesting. But having Marcy's stories, they can say, oh, my goodness, yes, I've seen this happen. And these are the tips I can use to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So it really takes it to another level of ability to translate the information into the real-world setting that you're enmeshed in the moment.
Yes. Well, I want to remind our listeners again, we're listening to Marcy Cottrell-Houle and Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom, authors of The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. And I understand you have a website for the book as well. Can you tell our listeners what they would find there?
I think we're developing that website. It's up and running, and we also are going to put some of the appendices on the
website. Oh, excellent. It's thegiftofcaring.net, correct?
Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, once people start bringing these to their doctors and say, can you fill in, because I did it the hard way, and learning and kind of developed this, and then working with Elizabeth, who refined it all for what doctors could really use,
mm-hmm.
that people could then go to their doctor and have what their baseline is and their ADLs, which is now activities of daily living, like Elizabeth said. Can you walk a half a mile? Can you remember this or that? And so you have that, and then kind of a brief summary of their health meds and their needs.
Yes.
And that could go with them when they went to the hospital. That could go with them, you know, different family members. And just think, then you're all kind of on the same page, and you understand a little more completely. It's the patient piece. And that sometimes doesn't get heard, or they don't know how to communicate it. And as I say, I think people learn by stories, and that's
mm-hmm.
why it's so fun. I felt so validated from learning from Elizabeth these things and realizing how they could be so helpful. I could have prevented so much suffering my parents went through. And as you know, as a child, you don't want to see your parents suffer.
Absolutely.
But ending. And I was able to with the help of family, but it was it was hard, and a lot of people are going through this right now. And if this book can give some change and help, it's just, as I say, I think it was about, and I both feel not just as authors, but as messengers, because there is a better way.
Yes.
But it's exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting. And as somebody who's been in the field now 40 years myself, I've seen so many of these situations that Marcy has described, with falls, with the great caregivers who come into your home, and the ones who the elder may trust but you don't, and these situations are very real. And I think when people can read a book like The Gift of Caring and sense that they are not alone, I believe that that's one of the most critical things that people need to recognize. And there are a lot of resources in cities, through area agencies on aging and so on, but many times people don't even know. They don't even realize that they are caregivers. They that's not really a term that people use to describe themselves. They care for their family members because that's what they're expected to do and what they want to do, but they don't realize how important that advocacy role is.
Yeah. And I think we also bring into, and Elizabeth, you can talk about that too, the caregiver you know, we talk about that, like what I was, you know, definitely I love taking care of my parents, but it was hard and it's not easy. And you have to learn to take care of yourself too. And Elizabeth had some wonderful tips on how does a caregiver take care of himself and,
yes,
herself and her family, because it's difficult.
Well, you know what? We are running out of time now, and we have some lovely music to send us off for the rest of our day. And I wanted to thank both of you, Marcy Houle, Elizabeth Ekstrom, authors of The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare.
Thank you.
We're so glad you could be with us. And we especially appreciate our web diva and social media maven, Cynthia Friedlob, as well as the leadership of Tim Carpenter at Engaged. And, of course, we have a great production staff here at KPFK. We also appreciate our listeners and especially our supporters of the station and the Experience Talks show. This is Connie Corley, and I've been delighted to share with you as we start our new calendar year and a new way of thinking about how important experience is and bringing the voices of this wisdom and experience to the airwaves. So I wanted to just end with a quote from the foreword of The Gifts of Caring by Ginny Chan Hansen, who was the head of the American Geriatric Society and past president of AARP. The gift of caring helps us assure the best possible care for ourselves and our loved ones' final chapter. This book is a gift.
This is a special KPFK election announcement. KPFK needs your vote for the local station board election